thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today we'd like to learn how to correctly react to the ever-changing events of life. It's relevant for all of us. Tal, please. It starts from a very young age. I have a small child. I read him stories. I try to teach him about life. And one of the stories that really made me think is the story about the five balloons. I grew up on this story, and many other generations did, and I think it kind of reflects life and the helplessness that we feel towards the things that happen in life. It starts with a mom bringing a present, a balloon for each of her five children. Everyone's really happy. Something positive happened. And what happens later is that each child's balloon blows up in some way. The child becomes sad, and then we tell the child, "Don't worry, we'll get you another balloon." Or there's this saying that really became an idiom, "This is the end of every balloon," meaning that everything has an end. It's really embedded in children that this is life, everything has its end, and there's no really answer to what to do about it. And when I read the story to my child really loves it. There's action, there's balloons, but it kind of saddens me as a mother that this is what I have to tell him about life. And also for myself, I'm telling myself, this is my life eventually. I also live between pleasant things and sudden things that happen that are very unpleasant, frightening, and that's how it is for everyone. And really, this sharp transition between good and bad and the helplessness that we have towards these occurring events raises many questions, and I'd like to hear what does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about it, about us living in a life where we're in constant transition between pleasant things and things we have no control over. How does the wisdom of Kabbalah explain it? Why the suddenness, the explosion, the boom? How can we better understand this? Why is it this way? First of all, from life we see that everything explodes. Eventually, there is nothing that remains. There's nothing that remains as something good. Always, in some way, it turns into bad. And this is the end of things. Even if I leave a fruit on the tree and it grows, from bitter to sweet, and from sweet it rots, and what happens. And that's how it is with everything. As much as our children are cute, beautiful, small, and we really love them, but everyone's destined to finish their life and the known way. There's a scene where the child hugs his balloon like he hugs his mom, and then the balloon explodes. This is what it says eventually, that mom will also disappear sometime. It's really sad. Right, so how can we reach such states in life that will be only good? Sweet. Like all the kids want, and actually we want too. In short, it's possible to say about it simply that on the one hand it says, wise is he who foresees the future. So there are people who say, better not foresee the future. As long as you can play with your balloon, play with it. If it blows up, then it does. But in the meantime, you're enjoying yourself. Great. What do I care that in so and so many years there will be some disaster, war, the end of the world? Now I can live. I feel good, and that's enough. Is it the right approach? No one knows. It's philosophy. There are those that think this, others think something else. There are many currents in philosophy, many schools from the very beginning of philosophy. We studied in the university, so did you, so did I. Now the question is, now this is with respect to foreseeing the future, that we can close our eyes and say, there's nothing, even though there is something, but I close my eyes and say, there's nothing, like little children. Like that. Or there are other things, meaning What's the other thing you can do? Lie. To lie to others and to lie to ourselves. Like you're doing with your child, you're also lying to him to some extent. You're saying, don't worry, it's fine, it's not true. Because in the meantime, you want to calm him down, and what happens later happens. We're doing it instinctively to ourselves and also to others that we want the best for them. We come and we really share their sorrow and we want to get them out of it. And it's something that's very customary, and we have movies about it, and songs, and things, and a bottle of wine, and cake, and something to benefit a person, to mitigate things, to get him out of his depression. But still, by that, we're not influencing destiny, fate. Either we close our eyes or we lie to ourselves. Meaning we're doing something on ourselves. We suppress it. We can't distance our fate. We can't do anything about it. We can only work on ourselves in order not to be afraid. Take some relaxation pills, drugs, something. Say that, no, never happened, doesn't exist, and be sure about it till the very last moment when it's there. Because if in 10 years there's going to be some kind of a disaster, why live all these 10 years in that disaster? I don't want to know about it. I'll live as much as I can now, and when it comes, boom, whatever happens, happens if I can't influence it. And what if we can influence it? Is it worthwhile influencing it? Or better, live a lie, saying that it won't happen. You have three states. Tell me. I prefer to influence if I can, depending at what price. And depending on the level of a person's development. So there are those that go into different kinds of trance, different means in order to confuse themselves, in order to tie themselves to some upper forces, fate, destiny, that they can influence it. There are many such religions and beliefs and methods, psychological methods, and sometimes you use drugs along with it, and if not drugs, then the influence of the environment, which is very strong and gives a person confidence that it's true. There's lots of superstition. Right, yeah. So, it's all true. Or, I can really change my fate. So, if so, we have to discern several methods. One method is that I simply say, there's nothing. Second method, that I mitigate things. I postpone it, and a sorrow shared is a sorrow halved, including everything in it. And the third kind of trouble, even if it might happen, but who knows where and what, and I'm supposed immersed in religion. And I believe that there's a higher force. And of course, that force is turning everything for the better. That force has a good intention, good purpose. I don't really understand it, but I'm in the hands of that upper force. And then I, as if, relieve myself of any responsibility in the future, and I live from one day to the next. I have what I have, thank God. And there is the wisdom of Kabbalah that says, no, we can change fate itself. Fate itself isn't good. We see it all throughout history that humanity is in constant wars, problems, and they're only becoming harder and more frightening. We see it, and especially now, that we have nuclear weapons and so on. Therefore, actually, I'd say We have no options left as to how to manage reality. Neither by closing our eyes and saying that it doesn't exist, or by postponing it, saying whatever happens, happens. So let's take drugs, let's take tranquilizers, things that humanity has lots of experience with nowadays, or religions, where it's becoming ever harder to stay in a religion because our ego is growing. We're no longer inclined to believe like it was simple for people in the past. They were pure. Today we're more egoistic, so it doesn't really work for us. And therefore the wisdom of Kabbalah is being revealed, and it says that there's no choice, that you won't be able to do anything about your life unless you really change them. It's not that you lie to yourself. It's not that you put on some pink glasses. It's not that you believe in something that doesn't exist or does exist. No one knows. But you have to open your eyes and enter the system that's controlling your life. And there, once you enter that system, you actually have to integrate with that system. And once you become included in that system, you start understanding how you can change your destiny for the better. And there are many questions that come up. Who am I to enter the heavenly system? And where does it exist altogether? Even though that according to nature, we see that everything's built in a wondrous way and everything works in a very smart way. So there's like a basic assumption that there is a basic rule to everything that happens to us. We can even see this from science. I look at the sun and the planets and the moon and everything. I see a law. I look at the matter around us still, vegetative, animate, people, our body, everything. I see that it all works according to rules. Were it not for these laws, everything would disintegrate immediately. Obviously, only a person who doesn't want to see it, he doesn't see it, but obviously that's how it is. I also see it on human society, the way it's advancing through all the formations it went through, where nonetheless in different countries and continents, we went through similar things. That's human nature, that's how it exists, that's how it advances. We see how our body exists, its systems, how they work, in interconnection, unity and so on. So about this I have no doubt. But also the different events in life. My child is holding a balloon, suddenly it blew up. There's no certainty. You simply don't see how it happens, that it's happening according to a certain order. Where do you as if take your fact from that it suddenly happened? What does it mean that something suddenly happens? This being the experience, I don't understand why. Okay, so you have to understand. You research nature. You're really into research. And from your researches, where do you see certainty? If we see certainty, it means that we don't know. If we have a question mark about something, we have like a white section, it means that we don't know how to research it yet. But not that we have these white sections in our understanding of nature, and we say, okay, this isn't a law, this is by chance. Causality, probability, that's always how it is about everything. If in the past we didn't know how a certain system works, also in human society and finance, and technology, economy, and so on, today we already see that it all works according to certain laws. So how can we really understand this causality that we see working in the tiniest events in life? We can't see that. but it does not push me to say that there are no laws that I don't know. I don't, but they're present, they exist. And here there's a question. Can we enter the system that's controlling our life, the life of all of humanity in general, and in a more particular way, suppose, the different nations, and down to a particular person? Can I enter the system and see that great big computer that's controlling, sustaining the fate of each and every one? I have to say that there is such a thing, because from day to day, we're really discovering these things ever more. All the more, if I'm speaking from the perspective of the wisdom of Kabbalah, not from the perspective of science, but of the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is actually a science about the generality of nature, both that which is revealed and that which is not yet revealed to us. And the wisdom of Kabbalah explains that, yes, we are in a system, an integral system. We're inside it. It's not that we can observe it from the outside, but we're inside it, we exist in it, and if we want to, we can enter that system and start really turning it, managing it, changing our destiny and our future from bad to good. We'd love to hear about it some more, but first of all, I'd like to understand, why does the system control us this way, that there are pleasant things and suddenly unpleasant things? Why does our life work this way, that there are all the time these sudden things popping up? So, first of all, the system is really managing us, controlling us between these two feelings of good and bad, and truth and false. These two systems are constantly working on us. Truth and false, this is an intellectual scrutiny, and bitter and sweet, this is an emotional scrutiny. Now, actually, there's nothing else aside from these two systems. And if I can say about bitter and sweet that, yeah, this is sweet, and about something else that it's bitter, no argument about it. That's how it is. I'm built that way. But about truth and false, there I don't understand anything. That anyone could have his own truth and his own false, and for different people it could be the very opposite. I didn't understand what does the false relate to. I know when I feel good or bad. Good and bad, it's bitter and sweet, you mean. Yeah. I'm talking, aside from feeling good or bad about something, I can say that it makes me feel good, but it's false, or it's bitter, but it's the truth. Can you explain? Even out of these four discernments, which are actually two, we're already getting confused, because it's not something that we deal with on a daily basis. Why? A person who wants to examine himself, and he wants to aim himself at something that he determines that this is the truth, then in all of his feelings and thoughts, he has to make a scrutiny, whether it's true or not. Both in terms of his inner feeling, tastes, and so on, and also opinions, meaning these scrutinies are very serious. We have to realize them. And the general scrutiny is, what is the meaning of life? As if a very general question, it has to, as if, be clear to every person. What's the question? What's the meaning of life? What do you mean? What am I living for? Taste in life. What taste does it have? Sweet, bitter, sour? What? What's the taste of life? what's the taste in life? The meaning is that I will choose my life, the truth, that I'll manage my life, not according to its taste, for it to all the time be sweet, but so that I'll manage my life despite the sweet taste, according to the truth. So, like you said before, we can lie to ourselves about life and hide different truths in order to feel better. But maybe we feel good living a lie. Yes. So usually I lie to myself and say that it's the truth because it's sweet. So I tell myself whatever story is convenient. Right. So this way, we can't integrate into the managing system because it's managing us only in accordance with a very meticulous program that's aimed at the truth. And the truth in that system is everyone's benefit. In that program of the whole of reality of our entire world, humanity is entirely included there. And the truth is that all of humanity has to approach a state where everyone will feel good without exception. And that means that nature brings itself to balance. So what follows is that I can't think about anything in life if I want to become included in that system and promise a good future for myself, but only on condition that I think about the benefit of others. And this is something that's well known to humanity for thousands of years. But because it's against our own nature, we're constantly forgetting about it. We don't want to be a part of it. And how does it exactly protect me, thinking about the benefit, well-being of others? How does it work? What do you mean? We said that if I become included in the thought about others for the benefit of others, I start better feeling and understanding the system that's controlling me and the rest of reality. I start then to better understand what's going on. And if really I'm not just yearning to treat others this way, but I really do start treating others in a good way, to that extent, I enter the system itself and I participate in its management, where I become a beneficial active force there as a partner. And then, by that, I change my fate completely. You no longer experience unpleasant and sudden things in life. It no longer happens. No, we're not talking personally about me. But this is what the system allows you to do. No, but I'm asking in general. A person that becomes integrated in that system, starts thinking about others, he becomes boss over his own life. He can really determine his future life almost in everything. So much that he doesn't stumble upon different negative and sudden events in life. He feels that he's all the time in control, and this upper kind of control that he doesn't know where it comes from, he understands. Yes and no. Depends on the degree to which he is integrated, included with the system. Suppose we that still aren't in this state, how can we start understanding why do the negative things in life happen to us? Something unpleasant happened. What's the purpose? The system brought this state upon me. What's the right attitude? The right attitude is to become integrated in the system, to first of all understand that I'm getting it from the system, to see that I can impact it as a result of being included in the system, in a state where I flow with it towards the same goal, which is for the benefit of everyone. And then to that extent, I start seeing in what way can I be of use. If I become beneficial towards the system, it opens more up towards me. I become included in it, and that becomes my life. And what can I tell my child whose balloon blew up? What can I tell him that will help him understand life a bit better? First, to yourself. For a child, it's still early. We're not talking about children. We're actually talking about those that are no longer children, because we already have to talk about the way people have to build themselves. A child, he's growing up like an animal. So we have to give him different impressions of life, but to really start confusing him with these different methods, it's still early. But it seems to me that I, as a mother, if I'll understand these things and I'll have a better perception of life, you'll know how to approach him in the right way, to pass my optimism on to him. Yeah. Our show is almost up. What's the most important thing we've learned today? That there's a system that's controlling us, and to the extent to which we can integrate in this system, we think for the benefit of others, and for the benefit of others is where my own benefit is, the benefit of each and every one of us, where the general and particular are equal. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Tal. Thanks for being with us. All the best.